Welcome to the latest edition of Kewaunee Back When. I'm Sean Kernan, and joining us with a story about our local grocery stores, one Dave Clark.
Kewaunee Back When. We're going to go way back. Someone asked me the other day why I didn't do a program about the neighborhood grocery stores. In the old days, every neighborhood had a grocery, little neighborhood grocery store, family run, that sort of thing. And I remember back when we did Talk Back here on WKEI, if it was a slow day and nobody was calling in, all you had to do was start talking about what used to be where. You know, hey, do you remember Despain's grocery store? Oh, yeah, and do you remember Tespin's, and do you remember Samara's? And, you know, they went on and on and on. Everybody had their favorite grocery store, and people just seems to be obsessed with that. But so I thought, why not? Let's do a deep dive and find out. I've learned some things over the years, and actually, it kind of reflects the social change in Kewaunee and really the economic change. Commercial change in the 20th century, between 1900 and 2000, because that was kind of the, up until the 1960s, you know, they were pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes back to the way Kewaunee was formed. Kewaunee, when it became an industrial city in the early 1900s with the Walworth or Western Tube and Boiler and all this other kind of stuff, and all of the ethnic people started coming into town. You had Polish and Germans and Belgians and Lithuanians and Swedes and all this, you know, different nationalities and so forth. And it's kind of like Chicago or even New York. You know, they settled in their own neighborhoods. You know, they all had a common language and they all had common interests and they all knew each other probably and so forth. So it was at one time that every neighborhood had a store, a church, and a bar. That was pretty much it. And what drove that was the lack of transportation. Everybody walked pretty much back then. Clear up into the 50s, I did a story one time on a man who still lives, I think, behind the boiler shop, about two blocks to the west of the old boiler site. And he said until he was in high school, they never owned a car. His dad worked at Boiler, took his lunchbox, and walked two blocks to work and came home. His mom went shopping at Al Hill's Grocery down across from Irving School. They went to Visitation Church, and if they needed to go somewhere, like downtown, there was a city bus, or before that, there was a streetcar, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And there just was never a need for a car. Well, of course, all that changed when America's love for the car started to blossom after World War II, and everybody got a car and started going places. And that's when you got into the supermarkets. But even back in these days, I went through the old city directories, and I've got some numbers here to share in a minute. Even in the old days, there was an A&P in Kewaunee, there was a Kroger in Kewaunee, there was a National Tea in Kewaunee, which later became Del Farm and on up over here on Burr Street. They didn't have any real way of getting out into, you know, the other towns. But when things finally started to make that possible where they could drive or could go, and they wanted to go, let's go get in the car and let's go shopping, you know, let's go down to, and then Kroger built down here where B&B is. A&P stayed there for a while. National Tea moved over here to Burr Street. And then later on, Piggly Wiggly built on Tenney. Piggly Wiggly moved up to where Save-A-Lot is. Save-A-Lot, before that, it was after Piggly Wiggly became Eagles. Eagles built the new store out there on Tenney Street where Sullivan's is.
Right.
And then now Sullivan's is there. And then they became the supermarkets. And the cars sort of didn't really give any reason to be a local neighborhood grocery store. What we have today, I think, that compares to that is the convenience store. The convenience store is a combination, and it used to be neighborhood gas stations, not as many, but they were spread, you know, pretty thick too. But we have gas and we have food and stuff you need. Really, these neighborhood stores were convenience stores. It was a place to get your basics, your meat, your eggs, your bread, you know, maybe some supplies, that sort of thing. It was kind of like a convenience store now. Sure, they specialize in beer, cigarettes, gas, lottery tickets, whatever. But if you need a bottle of aspirin at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can get one. Or if you need a, you know, box of tissues or whatever, they've got just two of them on stock, but that's what you need.
Right.
And, you know, that's why they call it convenience. So I look, by the way, do you remember, are you old enough to remember convenience stores? Neighborhood grocery stores. Did you have a grocery store in your neighborhood when
yeah.
you were growing up?
Yeah, in Princeton, Iowa, we had one called Bowles. And it was owned by a guy named Merlin, and he was everybody's best friend who,
uh-huh.
you know, gave people, you know, tabs, and you could, you know, your mom would send you to get something. Like, this is even in the 80s, they were still doing, he was
really?
Still doing this.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, and here, some of them kept going. The last one here in Kewaunee, and I did some research on this, was Samara's out on East 9th Street. And in my time, I can remember Samaras, Tom Lappin's, which is where Al Hill's was. And that was kind of what like you're talking about. There was Al Hill was in there, and it was right across from the school, and that's where all the kids stopped on the way home, you know, that sort of thing. Then we had Rashid's down on Elliott and Division Street, across from where the hospital. Before that, though, those are the last ones that lasted really into the 1980s, 1990s. And they all had customers that came there, I'm sure, regular people, and here again, that was before we had convenience stores. You know, here again, people still needed, if you needed something in a hurry, you can run down to, you know, your neighborhood grocery store. But I looked through the city directories to see kind of how this developed, because over the years, I've gone through city directories looking for other things. I noticed one year there was like 60 grocery stores listed in Kewaunee. 60. So I started looking. I went back to 1922, and I noticed in 1922 and 1930, there weren't that many ads in the paper. Advertising back then in the newspaper was movie theaters, it was cars, it was national advertising like for cigarettes and stuff like that. It was doctors, professional people. They didn't have, and restaurants were big advertisers. But it wasn't until the 40s and 50s that they started, and in the 50s, the newspaper was just chock full of, and I couldn't figure out, because that's when maybe they were seeing more competition, because then cars were starting to take people elsewhere. So maybe they felt they'd remind their neighbors that they were still there and they had a sale on bleach or whatever, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
In 1922, I counted 50 grocery stores in Kewaunee.
Wow.
And that included Kroger, A&P, and National Tea, but they were all downtown.
Uh-huh.
They were like on North Main Street or on Tremont Street or whatever. They were right in a line with all the other stores. In 1930, it was the peak. That was during the Depression. I picked that year because that was the depth of the Depression. That was 65 stores listed in Kewaunee.
Wow.
And I did find that not all of the stores were listed in the city directory. Because when I thought, well, what the heck, I got this list now, and I got the years, I'll go back and pick out some ads and see what was, you know, how much they were paying for, you know, steak or, you know, potatoes or whatever. And in 1930, there was a store called Scharfenberg Market at 218 West 2nd Street, and that would be downtown in the 200 block of West 2nd Street. And they had specials for Wednesday where round steak for 20 cents a pound and home-killed pork chops were 25 cents a pound. So anyway, but they weren't listed among the 65 that were in there. So there were some that, for some reason or another, the city directory was a, you know, voluntary thing. It wasn't done by the city. It was a group, a business that did it, and maybe they didn't want to be in it or whatever. So okay, then I jumped up to 1946, because that was right after World War II. And there was a 48 stores that had dropped down to 48 after the war. But here again, more cars are coming in.
Right.
Remember, post-war was when everything started to really, really boom. And in 1954, that was the year of the centennial, I went to that summer, August, I think, or July or whatever. It was down to 42. It had dropped a little bit. And in 1964, which is where I stopped, it had gone down to 23. I went through and looked at some of the ads that they were doing. Back in 1922, I found I couldn't find what we call a display ad, you know, a box with, you know, sales and stuff in it. But I found a house ad that the Star Courier had run, you know, that was promoting something, and in this case they were promoting advertising in the Star Courier, and they listed testimonials from various business people, you know, different kinds of businesses. We love the Star Courier, we advertise, blah blah blah, you know, you do that, you're a media person, you know.
Yeah,
how that
yeah.
goes. But at that time, by the way, Kewaunee's population of states was over 18,000, which was kind of the peak. 18,000 was about as high as the city ever got,
right?
And there are some people that think it was 20,000, but Larry Locke did some research one time and found out, he actually went to the census, you know, the U.S. Census, and looked at the figures, and it never reached 20,000. But in the 1920 or 22 city directory, which here again was a Chamber of Commerce piece, in the front it bragged up about Kewaunee and what great stuff it was here, and, you know, they're looking for people to locate, great parks, great churches, you know, the whole great schools, the whole nine yards. And it stated that they were a lovely city in the Midwest of 22,000 people. So but that wasn't based on anything. It was just some marketing guy deciding to, and maybe they rounded it off to the nearest, you know, 10,000, whatever, that sort of thing. But there was a store, a neighborhood store out on Tenney Street. It wasn't really a neighborhood store. It was kind of a commercial store called Kurbat's, K-U-R-B-A-T. And actually, Mr. Kurbat was the grandfather of Mary Jane Skoglund, who is the mother of Kevin Skoglund, who does some historical things here in town. People know him, so this would be his ancestors. It was the building on the corner of Tenney and Church, which we later remembered to be Taylor and Sons Auto. That's where they had their cars and displays and stuff, and now, of course, it's Crow Auto, but that corner is empty. But they had ran a house ad stating that it was under classifieds. Phone your grocery and meat orders to C.A. Kerbot, where you always are furnished fresh country eggs. So probably the farmers were bringing the eggs in. You know, it was on the edge of town. C.A. Kerbot Grocery and Market on Tenney Street. I moved up to 1930, and I told you about Sharpenburg. That's hard to say. I you can't just roll that off your tongue. You got to stop and think about that. In November, I thought I'd look for something around Thanksgiving. And here again, they weren't running that many display ads for grocery stores, but they had a big ad, a full page on November 25th, which would have been the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Mom's getting ready to do her shopping, you know, for the big day. And Kroger at the time was at 103 West 3rd Street, which would be along where Coco's is, you know, that 100 block of West 3rd. And they had choice fat young turkey hens for 35 cents a pound. And down the street at 213 West 2nd Street in the heart of downtown Kewanee, where A&P was then, they had young fancy hens for 33 cents, 2 cents less. So you could save 2 cents by going to A&P. And they had tom turkeys for 35 cents. But then it went up to 1946. Looking at that one, they had a group ad. And they were changing the hours or stating their hours or whatever. It was, they had 23 stores that listed their ads in here that their downtown stores and neighborhood stores would be having new hours, and they listed what those were. For some reason, they closed on Wednesday afternoons, and I don't know why that would be. Noon and Wednesday, they were closed. They were only open Monday through Saturday. They weren't open on Sunday. And they had... The big stores were among those, like A&P, Kroger's, National Tea, and so forth. And then the small stores, now we're getting some names we remember. Rashid's, Laclusa's. Laclusa's was on the corner of Church and Tenney Street, where Dan Bryan's advanced rehab is. Zhang's had a grocery store, and then later they had a meat market, a lot of people remember. And Olson and Walters was a popular grocery store right in the heart of downtown Kewanee. It was north of the People's National Bank, where that parking lot is there now, facing 2nd Street. Then I moved up to 1954, and we have Despain's Market at Gilbert and East Division Street. You know, East Division goes off of Main Street, and Gilbert's one of the streets that goes north. Now it's, I think, apartment building or something that's in there. They had free delivery that you could get there. Oh. They had, and they were starting to promote summer things. This was July 29th. Stokely Holler sliced beets. Were two number 303 cans for 29 cents, all meat wieners, 1 pound for 39 cents. Lemonade snow crop was two cans for 35 cents. And then they had here again, they were starting to join forces. Here again, you see some competition. They're competing with the big guys. And there was a chain of, they called it Independent Grocers Association, IGA. Ever right. Hear of that?
Yeah.
They had stores all over, and they had Fred Lecluse out on Tenney Street was an IGA. And Glenn Rowe, who was on 730 East 4th Street, and James Hall at 1000 West 4th were all IGA stores, and they had a summer sale on, you know, steaks and whatever.
If I'm not mistaken, IGA is still in Annawan.
Are they?
Yeah, they still have the sign up anyway.
Yeah, I that's a name people would remember. And the Red and White, there was Kone's Red and White was out on West 6th Street. That was another one that I don't know about the history on that. It's now, speaking of convenience or neighborhood grocery stores, it's now a Mexican grocery store. It has been for some time on the north side of West 6th. And it was Kone's Red and White for years. Red and White, there was an ad in here for Kone's Red and White. And there was one in Annawan, DeSplinter's, I believe, and there was one in Buda, which was Burton's Red and White, I think. So these companies would come in, and they would, you know, probably supply them. They became distributors. They would supply right. stuff with them, kind of like our oil companies are now with BP, and we have Bex, and we have Johnson Oil, and people that own a group of these stores and are bigger companies and that sort of thing. But went up to 1964. Now we're getting into quote-unquote modern times, you know, when it's almost remember. That's when they had the red and white food store combination. The first summer adds charcoal wieners, steak, a beef chuck steak was 49 cents a pound. But you had Carpenter red and white, which of all things, isn't how dispersed they were, 701 North May Street. North May is out next to where Abilities Plus is, out in that neighborhood. They had a store out there, Carpenter's. And then they had Chuck's Food Market at 716 West 3rd Street. And there was another one. Oh, and then it went over to Anawan and Buda and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, we had Samara's up on East 9th Street. That closed in 2003. I found an auction ad in January of 2004, and I remember going to that, and the store was all stripped out at the time. I mean, Mr. Samara, I think, had health problems, or maybe he'd passed away, I can't remember. But I remember I knew people that lived up in that neighborhood, and it was a regular ritual clear up until 2000 on Sunday morning to go to Samara's and get your Sunday paper, you know, get the Chicago Tribune with the funnies in it, you know, the comics, and buy a cup of coffee and maybe some donuts and all that kind of stuff. But also, I was going to go through some names of stores just very, very quickly here, going back down through, summarizing our parade through the years here. In 1922, and this is where a lot of these were ethnic stores. Here again, they probably sold specialized things, maybe bratwurst for Germans and that sort of thing. There was a, and I got to stop on this, Baltruschitis, A.G. Baltruschitis on East 9th Street. We had Bolakowski on 207th Street. Then we had DeBakey's on West 3rd. Then we had, there was a thing called the Groceria on 200 block of North Main. And of course, in Kerbots was out there. But a lot of these ethnic, and of course, there were the Rations, and there was other more. There was Swift and Thai, and but then there was the Saltus and Piliponis, and I'm sure all over the North Siders up there, the people that grew up on the North Side, you know, remember those names as their neighborhood grocery store. But they were all over. Like I said, as far north as one out on Edward Street was Glen Rose grocery store out there, almost close to Walmart on South Edward Street, and then all the way up there. And out on the West End, there was Roper's. When I was in school at Wethersfield, one of the popular places to go buy bubble gum for baseball cards was Roper's. They were out on the West Side, very popular neighborhood grocery store out there. That's 1922. 1930, we've got some of the same names, only there was another one in here called Sam Batar, 1000 West 4th Street. That'd be way out there past where Goods Furniture's warehouse is. You know, I think that's West 4th.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about Sam Batar, I've just noticed names of his children, and I've gone through my research every week for my, you know, yesteryear's column in the Star Courier. And Sam Batar Jr. was here in Kewaunee with a man running for governor, and I can't remember his name, but he was an attorney in Chicago, and he was a man who ran on the Democratic ticket in the primary against Dan Walker. No, I take that back. He was Republican running against Ogilvy, and then Ogilvy was defeated by Walker in 71 or 72, somewhere along in there. And then they had a daughter right after the war. There was a, can't remember her name, Sandra, but she was working for the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. So here you had two kids from this guy that ran the neighborhood grocery store on West 4th Street that wound up, you know, that's kind of the American story there. There's Kachukas in 1930, yeah. Kachukas, he had a son that went on to serve on the city council, Vince Kachukas. There's Neras, now we're getting into Rashids and Stivers and Siegmans and then Zangs, you see there, Wiesbaum, Charles, that sort of thing. Then we go up to 1946, now we're after the war and things are slowing down. We have only 48, but then we have Kapusinskas. The Kapusinskas was the Midway Market, which was on East 8th Street. And now I think it's a tavern. It was Woodsy's or something for a while. The bar was there, and there was a grocery store across the street on there. And of course, the Kapusinskas, now that would be the grandparents of what's her name that's on the park board now that just ran? Paula, I believe.
Yeah.
Paula Kapusinskas. Yeah. So we still have family around that may have remembered when they were growing up, you know, that had the Samaras, interesting enough, started out on West 6th Street. They had two stores actually listed here, 320 and 316, which were almost at Lexington Avenue on the south side. But then they moved from there down to East 9th Street in the 50s or something like that. But Anyway, then in 54, now we're getting up to more familiar names that people might remember. Oh, Hill's Grocery Store. This is the first time Al Hill's Grocery Store turns up in 1954. 301 South Grove, that would be the popular. And of course, Al went on to become mayor of Kewaunee back in the 70s. Draminski's Testman's was in here then. Testman's was located on South Vine Street. Draminski's was also on South Vine here, it looks like. And then there was Carlson's on West Garfield. A lot of people have mentioned that to me. It was in that right adjacent to the water tower, you know, that's out there on Garfield Street. And then we go up to 64. Now we're down to only 23. We're getting down to that's when the Piggly Wiggly store is listed. Then we got Kroger. There's something called Fred's East Lawn Market on Edward Street, but it's not Glen Rose, so I don't know what that is. East Lawn was the housing division after the war that they built, you know, on the east side of there. So anyway, that's interesting is that, you know, now today, the convenience stores kind of regulate. Now, where's your favorite convenience store? Where do you stop for coffee and donuts?
I go to Casey's because it's along the way. It's the first one I see when I'm on my way here.
And exactly, I was going to say the same thing is that mine is Beck's because I come in from the south side of town, and it's the place to stop and get gas or to buy a paper or, you know, to get, you know, whatever.
Casey's is also kind of a home thing for me because there's one in my hometown.
Yeah. Well, and see, here again, there's Casey's everywhere. Now, they are the new neighborhood grocery store, and maybe that's their concept, only they've morphed in with gas, you know, with that angle to it. But there's one in Buda, of all things. Who would think, of course, Buda's on Route 40, so there's a lot of traffic going up and down there. Sheffield, Tulane, Galva. Kewaunee, everybody has Casey's. I'm sure it's a regional thing. It's, you know, they're out of Iowa.
Right.
But I make a trip up to Casey's every so often to get donuts. I love their, they got the best donuts in town. So I'll go up there, you know, and even though I don't normally go up that way unless I'm, you know, making a trip that way. But, you know, it's sort of the days of small business. You know, when mom and dad ran the business, a lot of these were run out of people's homes. They weren't self-standing store buildings like Kerbots and Samaras and places like that were. But some of these, if you go down 8th Street now, you can see some of the houses have like additions that were built onto the front that have like what used to be a big window or something in there. And they... you know, they sort of ran it, you know, it was what they did. Maybe dad had a job. Some of these are single women. Some owners are listed as Mrs. So-and-so's grocery
right.
store or whatever. And so maybe that's all she did.
Yeah, if you're wondering, like, why there are so many is because back in the day, even in a residential neighborhood, you could find a house that was actually also a grocery store.
Right, right. And the houses were big enough back then where they could do that. The beginning of the Flemish American Club, getting into taverns, which is another whole topic we can do another program on, they started that on Stoke Street in a guy's house.
Yeah.
And the living room was the social room, and then the smaller room was the bar, and that was where they ran for years. You know, that was just where people hung out. They didn't have big crowds, obviously, but it was all your friends and relatives and neighbors and that sort of thing. They weren't looking like Walmart for a high traffic type thing. They were just
right.
looking to serve the neighborhood and make some money and raise a family. But as you can see, you know, a lot of them did well. A lot of them were around for years. You know, the Samaras and Al Hill, and then went to Tom Lappin's after that, you know, before they closed down.
An interesting point, though, about when we're talking about why this is such an interesting topic is because there is not a person in this town that can't track something about their lives back to one of these stores.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why people comment about it so much. Not so much maybe the younger people, but the people my age, you know, and they remember it, or their grandparents talked about it or whatever. And maybe that's something we're losing because it was sort of how America fell apart, and not in a bad way. But we used to have that cohesion where we stayed. You know, people stayed in Galva. They stayed in Tulane. They stayed in Sheffield. And the Sheffield had a theater, and they had a grocery store, and they had a grain elevator and all this other kind of stuff. All these towns were self-sustaining. And then the cars sucked people away
right.
and went further distances, and we could go shopping and go traveling and do all sorts of things. And these small towns, even Kewaunee, suffered, you know, and now we are where we are.
You can't also rule out corporate expansions and the invasion of the big box and how that has wreaked havoc on many small cities.
There was one, of course, I don't know, I wasn't here at the time when all these, you know, 65 neighborhood grocery stores started phasing out. And when the big, you know, when they built Kroger's and when Piggly Wiggly was built, you know, we started the era of the supermarket. I don't know if there was that much fuss about what was happening. Of course, Kewaunee was bigger then, so there was more business to go around and more rural traffic coming in, more population. But when several years ago, when Eagles left, you know, left the building out there on South Tenney Street, it was vacant for a couple of years, and we were in a panic. You know, my God, you know, when Kroger left here, they had a store out there in Midland Plaza. When they closed, just left. And that sort of thing. Oh, my God, you know, what are we going to do? And, you know, but nobody cried when mom and pop's neighborhood grocery store closed. But when we lost Eagles and we lost Kroger, you know, the town's falling apart. And luckily, I think that's when Walmart had gone into groceries. I think they were in groceries when Kroger was here. I'm pretty sure they were. And then, of course, when Sullivan's came in and bought the Eagles building, and we've kind of come back. And when you stop and think about it, for a town of now, what are we? We're still around 13,000, according to, but we have four. There are, we have Sullivan's, we have Walmart, we have Save-A-Lot, and we have Aldi's. We have four places in town. They're all a little bit different. They got a little skew on the market. But you know, I think testament to the fact that Kewaunee is still a regional shopping center where people come to buy groceries, and when they're here, they buy gas and
food. You'd also, like you said before, you could track the history of America from 65 grocery stores in a town of 18,000 to four grocery stores in a town of 13,000.
Yeah, there we are. That's where we are today. And it's just people's needs. You know, now we don't need to have a little store. We have the convenience stores. You can go out to the one Beck's on East Second.
Right.
You can go up to JoJo's. You know, we got the.
And that's the future too. I mean, over in Iowa right now, Big Ten Mart is now really a full-on grocery store as much as it is a convenience store.
Wow. And look at some of these big stores like Hy-Vee and stuff are even scaling down and doing smaller. We have these things called food deserts now where there's parts of the world, parts of our towns and stuff that just don't have any. Groceries are too far away.
Right.
And people, there are still people that don't have cars, you know. That was one of the issues with Save-A-Lot. There was a lot of people worried when they moved down here from Burr Street because they had a lot of foot traffic that came from Fairview Homes. Well, they have to walk a couple blocks further, but they're still getting that foot traffic. But interesting that building went from National Tea that built it and moved from downtown. Then it was Del Farm, and then it was Super Value. There was a Super Value store there when Save-A-Lot came in and bought it.
Yeah.
And of course, now it's the health department. And of course, Save-A-Lot took over the Eagles building when they moved out. But Eagles, initially, that building was built by Piggly Wiggly, who moved from Tenney Street. Now, why they moved from, you know, Tenney out there. Of course, now people all want to be at that end of town, you know. But at the time, apparently some executive at Eagle thought, or Piggly Wiggly thought, it'd be smarter to be up here on Main Street than out there. Of course, still, even in the 60s, that was kind of a rural area out there that wasn't developed like it is now. We didn't have Walmart and Midland Plaza and all that. So anyway, that's our story.
Yes.
And we're sticking to it.
All right.
Nice
you,
trip.
Dave.
Nice trip.
Yes, indeed.